All right. Well, and now it's D-Day for me. Family, come on up here. Let's go. Spread out. Ah, there she is. Hi, Hannah. We have eight of our ten children up here, and we have commandeered our daughter Hannah with us. And I'm gonna sit in the middle here, sweetheart. Or you want to sit here next to me? There we go. And hi, sweetie. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good.
Yes, I can.
Cool. This has been a changing picture over the last 15 and a half years, and some of you have been around, have seen those changes. And I was just thinking here the other day, I was at Chick-fil-A. I was just thinking about how all things are not always as they appear. And, you know, you're looking at the family, and I can remember when we were first came and the little ones were right, sitting there. Your family is so nice. They're all so well-behaved. And I said, you don't know half of it. And, I was at Chick-fil-A here a few weeks ago, and I was walking in the hallway to go to the bathroom, and there was this lady who was holding the women's restroom door open, and there was a guy walking into the men's restroom in front of me, and she says to the guy, she says, there's no soap in the women's restroom. Would you go in the men's restroom and give me some? I couldn't believe it. The guy looks at her and just sort of dutifully walks in, pumps a couple of things of soap, and walks out and goes like this to her. She scoops it off her hand, walks into the women's restroom. I couldn't believe it. I walked in the men's restroom, and I'm shaking my head. He looks back, he saw me shaking my head. He goes, oh, that was my wife. Not everything is as it appears. I want to share the scripture we shared in the child dedication this morning with you again, where it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your might. These words that I command you today will be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on the gates. And we gave that little outline this morning, which we give every year, that our dedication needs to come from the parents. From this passage, our dedication to Jesus needs to be with every pulse of our being, every part of our day, and every place in our home. I don't think there's a place in our homes that should be considered non-sacred. I think every room in your home should have some sacredness to it. How would you respond to your son if he came up to you one day and said, why do you believe what you believe, Dad? Why do you believe what you believe, Mom? The truth is, God actually wants us to anticipate those kind of questions from our children. In fact, that very same passage says, when your son asks you in time to come, what's the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? You respond to that. So God told the Israelites and tells us by application, we need to expect those kind of questions to come from our kids. He said, your kids are going to be wondering for themselves one of these days, and we've got to be able to give them an answer. Alex McFarland has written a book called The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. And he talks about, it's just an amazing statistic of how very few people go through divorce that have regular family devotions. It's an amazing statistic. Because those statistics are up against the schooling that we've trusted for years. The statistics are still holding out right now that 90% of the kids that go to secular school walk away from God. And 50% of the kids that go to Christian school are walking away from God. So But the number one reason that McFarland talks about, the number one reason, this is not going to be a shocker to you, the number one reason why kids walk away from God was hypocrisy in the home. Not handling normal things biblically. So you're looking here tonight at our own version of the blended family. It's a real Norman Rockwell picture, isn't it? And Hannah's here. Caleb is the only one not here. He's in Boston. But among this group of kids that embraced Jesus early on in their lives, and some later on, among this group are kids that were really compliant, like Nathan over here, always compliant. The guileless one over here, Nathan. He really was. Cooperative, Christ-honoring. But among this group, there's also resistance and rebellion, openly and quietly. And you got a mom and dad here that did everything right and everything wrong, I think, at the same time. This is a picture from a while back. This is what you might remember us. So you're back about, I think, just before you moved out, Nathan. Anyway, I didn't put the earlier pictures because the kids all don't like those. But anyway, so I'm going to start with you, dear. We've got several microphones. And if we have time, I don't know that we will. We maybe have some questions here, but... Dear, how overwhelming was all of this for you at first? And what are some of the things, would you talk to everyone, as you think about a devotional perspective, what are some of the things that you've done and what we've done as a couple?
So do I answer the first
question? Whatever you want to do. Yeah, you're on.
Do I answer the first question?
Is she on? I don't know, I think so. No, I don't hear you. Just give her a microphone.
There you go. Can you tell if that's on?
Yeah, you're on now.
Well, let me, some of you don't know.
It's not picking up. Okay.
Some of you don't know. I don't know if I've ever shared this with everyone, but I remember when I was a widow, I remember telling the Lord, not telling him, but, you know, having the conversation with the Lord of, you know, Lord, if you would want me to remarry, you know, you're going to have to bring someone into my life that is a godly man, because I lived in a small town. I wasn't going to go to a bar to look for a mate. So living in a small town, where do you find someone else that you're going to marry? So I always told the Lord, Lord, if that's your plan for me, you have to bring him to me, because I'm there's no place for me to go find someone. So if that's your plan for my life, then you have to bring him to me. And I was content that, you know, if God, if this is what you want me to be single for the rest of my life, that's okay. But I remember telling God that. But I said, God, there's one request. My one request, that he was a godly man who would lead my family. Because I was used to a godly husband who led our family. And that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing, but that was the role God had gave me. So when I think of how God answered that prayer over and above anything I could have imagined, I always marvel at how God answered that by bringing Pat into my life. And so I just want to tell you thank you for the godly example you've been to me these years, and to my children, and your children, and our children. And when I think of when we came here almost 16 years ago, there was 10 kids in us. Now we have 7 more children that are our kids' spouses, and we've been blessed with 11 grandchildren, with one new one on the way here soon. So God has multiplied our family since we've come here almost 16 years ago. And I thank God for you, and I love
Thanks.
You very much.
Thanks, honey.
So he wants me to talk about devotions. That I guess I always appreciated He didn't, yes, we had our own devotions, but as a family, we always had devotions. And am I supposed to talk about Sunday night or somebody else?
You can't. I mean, let somebody else. That'd be okay. Better.
So between the two of us, before we go to bed at night, we pray every night together. Before we get out of bed in the morning, we pray every morning together. Before we leave the house, we'll have like a time of prayer, maybe share a thought from our devotion. Or if nothing else, we'll pray together for our days, for our kids. We always bathe our family in prayer before we separate, leave the house. And so I'm thankful for that spiritual leadership in our family.
Thanks, dear. Yeah, and I would just, the only thing I would say to that is, in addition to that, is I don't think that when couples pray together and read their Bible, it doesn't have to be lengthy. You don't think we've got to have a half hour or 45 minutes. Sometimes we're talking 3, 4, 5 minute segments here or there, but it's constant. And so speaking of constant, let's turn it over to the kids here. Nathan, what are some of the constants that you would refer to that you appreciated? Because you came and you were going to leave right away, but you stuck around for 6 years. So that was kind of nice.
That's one of those where man has his plans and God changes and directs them. The constants in our home from day one were parents who definitely lived every moment of the day what they said. It wasn't say one thing and do another thing. It was exactly what I believe and say is exactly what I'm going to do. Parents who you knew every day that they were praying for you, they would tell you on a repetitive basis. And that has become more and more valuable the older I've gotten. As a teenager, it's kind of, it goes in one ear and out the other. You're like, yeah, thank you very much. But you don't realize the importance of it until you get older. So that's a thank you to both of you. Having now a father, after not having a dad for 8 years, having someone who I could go to with questions, and every question was answered from Scripture. And I guess constant was, if you hang around our house on a regular basis, you can expect the question, what's God teaching you? So if you're learning something, it's great. You have an opportunity to share. If you haven't been in your Bible for a while, it's a slap in the face, because you're all of a sudden left thinking, oh boy, you know, you shouldn't be left, oh boy, I've got to come up with something, because it should be natural, but there's the constant. So I guess the greatest thing is just having parents who live out exactly what they say. And it's like that verse that was up here. It's an everyday thing. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just on occasion. But Scripture is lived out. It's presented. And it's not done so in a condemning or a harsh way, but it's done so in a loving way, and it's done so in an encouraging way. So those are some of the big constants.
Thanks, Nathan. We'll get to some of the negative stuff here in a little bit. Sarah, Natalie, why don't you talk up?
One thing I was going to say was also the asking what you're learning, because I remember several times digging something up in the back of my brain and making it up. But it was also a huge conviction point, because you felt so like, oh man, Lord, I need to be back in the Word, and knowing that your parents weren't going to go probably more than a week without asking that was huge. And another thing that I think has been more big to me now that I am a mom is that I always knew that you guys were in the Word. And I would see your Bibles out, and I would see your reading, and I mean, that was huge to me. And it's now huge to me as a mother. Even on the days that I am finished with my devotional time before my kids get up, sometimes I'll purposely leave my Bible out just so they can see that mom was in the Word. Yeah. So that was huge to me.
Cool. Very cool. Natalie. Use the other one.
It's on.
Okay.
One, I don't have a mind for detail, so these things have really slipped from my mind. Two, as I've been thinking back through this, honestly, as some of us can attest, I would be more that silent rebellion, I think. And so sadly, there's a lot of things that I don't remember, I think, because it was very hard of heart during those years. So in a funny way, what came to my mind was I knew, regardless of what I wanted, my parents were going to be stuck together the rest of their lives. And, you know, and I was going to be stuck with these seven siblings the rest of my life, whether I wanted them or not. But, you know, that is an awesome example in my own marriage when times aren't always easy, that divorce is never an option. It's not even something we'll ever talk about because it's the example that both of us have had growing up. And times were rough sometimes, but it was not going to be an option. And just, I guess I'm totally going off devotions because I remember not liking them very much because my heart was hard, especially my relationship with Pat was really rough. But, you know, when we would have fights and things like that, forgiveness and always dealing with things. Like, we didn't just let things ride. It wasn't okay to, like, slam the door to my room and stay in my room the rest of the night and, like, hope the next morning things had eased up. It was going to get dealt with. And whether I liked that or not, that was a constant. I knew that we weren't going to let the sun go down on our anger. We were going to deal with things as a family, in relationships. And I guess so those are constants that I remember.
That was powerful, Natalie. Thank you for sharing that. Noah, where are you at? How about let's hear from you. Family devotions. What sticks out as a favorite of yours, time or whatever? And Noah really represents the younger ones at the time we came together, and so we'll kind of hear from them now. So how about you, Noah?
It's kind of been mentioned already, but just the importance of prayer and just that practice that was constant in our home. Whether that was seeing you guys praying in the morning together, which is something I've tried to carry over in my own marriage before either of us leave the home in the morning, just to have that time together, even if it's just a 30-second prayer that we pray together, just making sure that our hearts are right for the day and we're both ready for the day before God. But just you taught us the power of prayer, especially going through all my health issues when I was younger, just being able to go back to those times and see the way that God specifically answered prayer. And, prayer wasn't something that you taught us. It was just something that's hitting the ceiling and coming back. You showed us that we were talking to someone. And we had a very powerful Heavenly Father that was hearing those prayers. And so just the importance of prayer in our home was very constant. Probably one of my favorite stories about prayer, though, involves John and Daniel. And they're probably, three or four. And it was at the end of family devotions one night, and John came forward after all of us had dispersed to our rooms, and he said, can you be praying for Daniel and I because we're not saved, and we need to be saved? So, yeah. But hey, praise the Lord. So, you heard that prayer.
It would have been nice if that was answered a little earlier, but praise God it was answered. Oh, Hannah, you're bigger than life up here on the screen. It's great to see you, dear. So why don't you talk to us? You've waited a long time on FaceTime. Talk to us about your experiences.
Well, it stinks to be one of the younger kids because everybody says everything you're going to say. But I'd echo really what everybody said, but one thing that did stand out a lot to me was like Noah was saying, the importance of prayer and everything. I'd remember there'd be times before, we always prayed before going to school, and we'd be like late to school every once in a while just because we'd have family prayer just in the morning and everything like that. And but one of my favorite parts, and maybe I'm not supposed to talk about this because you told Marilyn not to, was Sunday nights, and how we'd all get together and everyone would just say what the Lord had, like, spoken to them that day. And I kind of went back and forth with, like, liking and disliking them, I guess, just because there'd be times when my heart was hard and then there'd be times where I was living for the Lord. And so it was, I think I had kind of a range of experiences with it. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like everyone took what I was going to say, but Yeah, I do really appreciate just the godly example that you guys set and the importance of prayer and the importance of, like everyone said, have we been in the Word today? And just having that reiterated over and over and just the importance of that has always stuck with me.
You know, I should tell everybody that one of the things that Hannah's referring to, and I had kept Marilyn from talking because I figured one of the kids would probably say something about it, was the constants do, some of the constants don't remain constant. I mean, as your kids get older, you can't always get them together. They're running here and there. When they're in high school, they're always doing something. And so but the morning prayer and nighttime devotions were as much as we could. But one thing we did for about 20 years, and we only discontinued it a few years ago, was every single Sunday night, which is what Hannah was referring to, we got together in our living room, usually around 9:30 at night. Everybody was back home from running around or whatever. And some highlight in the day. That's all we didn't ask for anything deep necessarily. It could be whatever. It could be a song that was heard or an encounter they had in the foyer or something they learned in Sunday school or youth group. And, you know, might even been something Dad said in his message, you know. But it was a very special day. I know it was a special time for me, and maybe not as special to them all the time, because like Sarah and said, you know, you're pulling us back together. And all. But it was still a necessary thing and a constant, I think, that was in the end helpful to all the kids. Would you add anything else to that, Hannah, or not?
No, I mean, I guess from living out here, I would add this one more thing. One thing that I do appreciate that I don't think I realized until we moved away and made friends that didn't really grow up in a Christian home and were saved later on in life.
Oh, she got cut off.
Always talking to us about the script and just like the Old Testament stories, like things that they didn't know about David and Bathsheba, like they didn't know who that was. Simple things like that that I feel like I've known for so long that I did take for granted. And I know a huge part of that was from devotions and family devotions and just you always teaching us those things and wanting it to be something that we built our life on was the Word. And just I didn't appreciate it when I was younger, but now seeing what it's like in people's lives when they don't know stuff, just the difference that made. So
thanks, honey. Josh, on the end. Yeah, just, you probably didn't get this, did you? Sorry, Josh, I sent some of these notes along to everybody. Just what you think about growing up, you think about devotions, what are some things that stand out to you on the positive side? I'll get to the others here in just a moment. Hello? Yellow one's not working, just put it down.
Mine's more of a positive and negative, so I'm going to go on both. If that's okay. No. Okay.
No, I'm just going to go. Let's ahead. Move on to John.
I'm going to talk more of the discipline aspect, the constants of discipline. And not military eyes or anything like that, but mostly spankings, a lot of them. John and Daniel. Because this goes along with the scripture as well. But I appreciate, I mean, not at the time, obviously, but I really appreciate the discipline that we had. When we did something bad, I remember one time, Caleb Ellison, and the Ellison's over here, he was at the house at the time. I mouthed off to Marilyn, and Dad, my best friends at the time right there with me, didn't care. Brought me over, spanked the living junk out of me, but doing so. But the constants, besides the discipline, was the fact that Dad would not only discipline us, but then he would sit us down while we're ticked at him and in tears, red bottoms and everything. And he would talk to us as to why he spanked us. And then he would actually go through the scripture. Okay, so this is actually why you need to obey us, you need to respect your parents or whatever the situation was. And go through scripture, show us that it's not just his word, his mouth, the app, and it's actually the word of God. And then he would tell us that I expect an apology out of you. Sometimes we would force one out, but a lot of times it would come from the heart because we would eventually feel bad and feel sorry and ask God for forgiveness and ask that person for forgiveness as well. So the negative aspect, but the positive aspect as well, and I really, really appreciate the fact that the constant discipline, but it was, he always would show us, and this is why, this is from the Word of God right here, so.
You got a microphone over here. Well, how about, well, just give it to John. We'll make your way this way. Sorry, Elizabeth.
I guess I realize over the years how much they really, their overflow of love was towards me, because I'm being the one that wasn't saved till about a couple or year and a half ago, something like that. And just realizing that no matter what I did, they were always loving on me, you know, in devotions. I didn't really care or really pretend to care, and, you know, or even if I did, they could, you know, see that I didn't really care that much. But they still love me no matter what. And I was going to jump on the bandwagon and talk about all the things that they did, like morning prayers before we went to school and then after at night and stuff like that. And it really is just an example of how I really want to live my life. And that's kind of how, like, I look at them and I do see an example that I want for my family growing up. And so, yeah, that's.
Elizabeth. The problem child. I'm kidding.
Just one of them. One thing that I remember in our devotions, he would do Keys for Kids and stuff, but my favorite one was probably going through Pilgrim's Progress countless times. I don't remember how many times we went through the picture book, but I loved that. And another thing that I loved was I would echo Sarah's, just constantly getting up in the morning and I would see their Bibles out. Or I remember getting up early for school and going out to go start my car, and my dad would be sitting right next to the heater vent in the dark with a blanket. He would just be praying and scare the crap out of me every time that I'd come out. But that's, I just remember him. That was his spot. That's where he would be every morning, whether it was reading his Bible or praying. And that was just, that's super encouraging to see. And I would also say the discipline, too. He would always just sit you down and, you know, in Maryland, too, and just tell you why you're getting disciplined and why it was wrong, and show you in Scripture how you were wrong, and then how you can fix that. But one other thing that I remember, too, is you guys got really good that if you had a discrepancy, talking in your room about it. But a little bit at the beginning, it wasn't like that. But I remember if any one of us kids heard you fighting, you'd always go to one of us and say, I'm so sorry you had to hear that. And you would, you know, you always, I just always remember that. You'd always ask for forgiveness for whatever you did. I don't know. I just love that about it.
Thanks, honey. Daniel?
Well, I'm going to bring my dad down a notch a little bit on this story.
I'm going to give you plenty of time for those notches here.
But does anyone here know what Keys for Kids is, the devotional book? Great. Okay, so here's a fun story.
You remember that story wrong. You've told this story before. You got
nope,
it wrong.
Nope, I'm the right one. Okay, so, you know, for those of you who don't know what Keys for Kids is, it's like a devotional book, mainly for kids, and it tells a story. What? Oh, it is to have Keys for Kids. Anyways, and so it tells a story that they made up, and then it has, like, a scripture reference to it that relates to it. And at the end of it, it has, like, a key word that it's in the key, like, in the little picture of a key. And if you guess that, you know, you were the smart one for the night. So there was this really obvious key. Like, everyone in the entire room knew what it was. But we gave it to John, because John's not the smartest one. And so... And so, like, but John guessed it, like, right away, because it was really obvious. And my dad looks at him and goes, did you look at the key? Did you cheat? And John's like, no, I didn't cheat, I swear. He's like, yes, you did. You saw the key. He's like, I didn't. So he took him to the back room, and he spanked him because he got the key right. Oh, man. Oh, best night ever. All right. Oh, but, okay.
That's long enough for Daniel. Let's move on.
I do have something to say, though. I do have something to say. Although that was, like, the only negative thing that came out of Keys for Kids. But
the one you remember.
But I do remember loving Keys for Kids, though, because it got us involved, and it got us to actually, like, throughout the story and throughout the scripture, we were thinking, of what the key word was, what the main part of what they were trying to get across to us was. And I just want to encourage you parents out there that do have young kids to, like, I mean, it could be Keys for Kids, could be something else, but try to do a devotion that could really get your kids involved. Because I remember actually being excited for devotions when I was little. So
I want to jump ahead because the balance of our last 10 minutes here, just talk about, I mentioned earlier, the number one reason listed for why kids walk away from God was hypocrisy in the home. And these kids here, in spite of what you've heard, most of them have had struggles, and some of them have mentioned them. Hypocrisy is a strong word, and our house was not without it from time to time. I know that. How did you deal with hypocrisy? This, for anybody who wants to say, when you saw it, you don't have to necessarily describe the hypocrisy, but how did you deal with it in your own life? What were some of the struggles that came out of it? Is that too vague for you, or you guys want to talk about that? Well, okay. See, I told you I didn't prep him for this. So I'm just saying this because our house did have, and it's been a little, there was a lot of upheaval in the early days. And we didn't always see eye to eye, Marilyn and I, on discipline and whatnot. And then we struggled sometimes, and we openly would struggle sometimes. And that was, you know, that was against everything that we had agreed on, and we'd have to ask for forgiveness about that from time to time. And we know it probably had a bad impact on you guys. I just wondering how you guys dealt with that, how you got through that, those times. Did you, anybody want to comment on that?
No, it's going to be negative, but I do remember some hypocrisy in the home. And I remember when I was little, I mean, this is when our families weren't super close to each other yet, and I remember being really upset about it, like, but eventually when I actually got my heart right with God and you guys came up to me and apologized many times, I was just too, you know, ignorant. I just didn't really care. Eventually, because God got a hold of my heart, I was able to forgive you, and because you guys were humble about it, it, you know, had a positive effect on me in the long run, so.
Thanks. Anybody else want to make a comment? Holding back. Just whatever, Nathan, you want to say something?
This is one of those where, since I was the oldest one, and again, my plans were to be gone, but I stayed. The first house that we lived in, I was literally in the basement, in the back room, in the corner, under the stairs. That's where my room was. No window, very easy to hide. But I think one of the hardest things, and it didn't directly affect me because, again, I was older, but watching the two of you attempt to, like Josh said, there was a constant in discipline, but the problem early on was, how do you discipline? Yes, we're all one family now, but there's still the 7 and the 3, and God has slowly made that just 10. So there's not the divide there anymore. But early on, it was, how does mom discipline maybe John, Daniel, or Josh, you know, and there's a butting of heads there, and vice versa. How does, you know, Pat discipline maybe Natalie or Noah? And I think it was just natural. There was a struggle there, and maybe that was a tough issue at first, but God eventually brought that together. And I appreciate the two of you learning as you went, being humble, and still trying to be a picture to us as kids, you know, even in the midst of going through tough times and a lot of not so smiling faces.
Me being the youngest, I'd say I'd see like a lack of hypocrisy looking at them, because mom here would take me and Daniel, and then she'd, you know, she might discipline us and stuff like that. But through that, I never really once looked at Nathan and Noah and Natalie as my stepbrothers and sisters, or mom as my stepmom. It was just more like people would correct me before I would even correct myself. Like, they'd be like, "Oh, your stepsister?" I'd be like, "Oh, yeah, I guess." You know, I didn't really think about that. You know, it's just kind of like, so I guess it'd be a lack of hypocrisy in mine, just because I'm so younger and, like, didn't really get to see the craziness too much.
Yeah, and it probably affected all of you, but and I think no doubt affected your older ones. The girls, were you going to say something?
Well, I would say I think that was probably my biggest excuse for why, for so long, I didn't allow our relationship to grow. And not that it was blatant, but I think I used it as an excuse until one day a very dear friend of mine that God used said, Natalie, you do realize that if God would give you a husband someday, like, he's not going to be perfect either, right? And you're going to have to learn to submit to him. So if you can't learn to submit to Pat as your dad now, how are you ever going to submit to a husband? And that was, like, life-altering moment for me. In fact, that was the night that I went home, and he said, I want you to go in that house, and if Pat is in that living room, you need to deal with it. And I went in the house, and in a house of 10 kids, it wasn't very often that one parent was sitting by themselves in the living room. And I go home, and Pat was sitting by himself in the living room. There was no one else anywhere. And I really tried to walk through. Like, I really did. And the Holy Spirit said, absolutely not, Natalie. And that was the night that God ultimately broke my heart, and that our relationship finally started to grow. So I would say I used that as an excuse for a long time, though it was not anything as much as I would, you know, was using. It wasn't, you know, there was nothing blatant there.
It's a very, very humble response. Now, that's exactly how it happened. But at the same time, you know, humanly speaking, you had lots of good excuses for keeping our relationship at bay. But that was an amazing moment, and I praise the Lord for that. Sarah?
As one of the older ones, and not as blatantly outwardly sinful as some of the others, it was in my heart, though, believe me. I struggled more with bitterness, and it really ate at me for a long time. Sorry. And so I had to learn to that you guys are human, you know, kind of like what Natalie said, you know, as far as having a husband someday, and not letting the bitterness eat away at me and ruin, it was only ruining myself. And so to forgive and to let that go and love, and that freed me up a lot. And that really didn't happen until, it was the first couple of years of my marriage, so 8 to 10 years ago. It went on for a while, but just letting go of that and realizing that bitterness hurts you the most, yeah. You know. So, wow.
Were you going to say something? Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, try to keep it short. Yeah. I was one of those kids that was kind of secretly, kind of outwardly bad. Not as bad as these two younger ones.
What's with all the comparisons here?
Well, they were the worst. Not to put myself on a pedestal or anything, but no, I think for me, it started in high school. I was one of those, I went to public school and walked away from God, and I had bitterness, but I had a lot of, I guess you could say, it was a hardened heart, I guess, and it was mostly towards Marilyn, because I didn't want to, I didn't really know my birth mom that well. I was pretty young when she died, and so Marilyn was the only mom that I really knew, and so for me, I felt like I wanted to find reasons to be mad at her and to, you know, hurt her in words that I said and stuff. And so I think that, but I mean, she never, you didn't deserve my hardened heart or hatred towards you at those times. And like Sarah, it took me a long time to get over it. You know, I got over it probably a couple of years ago, you know, I mean, but that was probably, you know, I had talks with my dad, and even now he's basically tells me, you know, you're being a girl. You need to stop overthinking things and stop, you know. I don't do that. But, you know, kind of shaking me and telling me this is the mother that God has given you, you know. Some parents, they lose a parent and their other parents don't remarry. They don't get another mother, you know. I did, and God blessed me with that, and I didn't see that for the longest time. So...
Well, our time is up. I have some things I wasn't going to share, but I'm going to hold off until next week. And next week, when I'm not going to have all the family up here, but maybe a couple of them, we'll see, because I want to take this whole business of problems in the home and how you deal with them, how we dealt with them, and how you can have hope. Some of you parents right now are probably wondering, you know, with your kids getting into high school or whatever, and they're not listening and things like that. We want to be able to encourage you to that end. And so we'll deal with that next week. And I know it's my family, but I want to thank them, including you, Hannah, for joining us on FaceTime. And would you let them know that you appreciate their coming up here and talking to you? Yeah. I'd like to just close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to take just a few minutes break, and we'll come back for a short business meeting for those who are members of Sailorville. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, our heart's desire has been to be able to encourage your people here at Sailorville Church through the experiences that we've had. And Lord, we don't deserve the encouraging words that our children have given to us tonight. We're just very grateful for them, and we are grateful for our kids, every one of them, Lord. How you have delivered them as you delivered us, and you've delivered our family out of all kinds of situations, and we just glory in you. And we pray, Lord, that our family could provide hope and encouragement to others in struggling marriages, struggling blended families through bereavement or divorce or whatever it may be. There's hope there, Lord, and it's found in you. It's found in your word and some of these constants that have been heard tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would just breathe a word of hope into many hearts tonight. And thanks so much for this time we could have this little family roundtable with our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.